Everybody that's here, when you got up here, Mac, and you started getting emotional, I think that's a theme for today, because that's the way I've been all morning, and I don't understand, but God does, and he's writing into our lives on a daily basis. But what I want to do is, again, we're going to finish off the book of Galatians. I was talking to somebody a little bit earlier and said I was going to finish off the book of Ephesians this morning. What a surprise to Mac and everybody else. But no, that's not the case. Let's begin with prayer, because I know I need it today. Father God, we come before you. Lord, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you that you have brought us back to the heart of worship, that you have brought us to yourself. Father God, that it's nothing but you, Jesus Christ, it's nothing but you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for your love, the love that came down from heaven, brought us back to you. Thank you for that, Father God. Lord, I just want to pray that your words would flow through my mouth. I pray that you would help me not to step an inch beyond what I know. And Father, I just pray that your word, you would be lifted up and glorified today. We just thank you. We praise you in your precious Son's name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to go to, you know, talk about freedom in Christ. It's the conclusion. This morning as I was going through this and kind of working on the last part of my message, it changed. And I'm going, okay, God, it's up to you. You changed it. I didn't. So hopefully I've changed the PowerPoint to go along with what's going on here, because if not, I'm going to be confused. But this part is only the cross, and I kind of put that as a question because some people had tried to add different things. Going to do a real quick review of Galatians, and I'm going to read out a study Bible I have here, because I really liked the way that this was put in here. A family executing their carefully planned escape at midnight, dashing for the border, a man standing outside of prison walls, gulping fresh air, awash in the new sun, a young woman with every trace of the ravaging drug gone from her system. They are free. With fresh anticipation, they can begin life anew. Whether fleeing oppression, stepping out of prison, or breaking a strangling habit, freedom means life. There is nothing so exhilarating as knowing that the past is forgotten and that new options await. People yearn to be free. The book of Galatians is the charter of Christian freedom. In this profound letter, Paul proclaims the reality of our liberty in Christ. Freedom from the law and the power of sin, and freedom to serve our living God. Most of the first converts, and early leaders in the church were Jewish Christians who proclaimed Jesus as their Messiah. As Jewish Christians, they struggled with a dual identity. Their Jewishness constrained them to be strict followers of the law. Their newfound faith in Christ invited them to celebrate a holy liberty. They wondered how Gentiles, non-Jews, could be part of the kingdom of heaven. This controversy tore the early church. Judaizers, an extremist Jewish faction within the church, taught that Gentile Christians had to submit to Jewish laws and traditions in addition to believing in Christ. As a missionary to the Gentiles, Paul had to confront this issue many times. Galatians was written, therefore, to refute the Judaizers and to call believers back to the pure gospel. The good news is for all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. Salvation is by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ and nothing else. Faith in Christ means true freedom. After a brief introduction, Paul addresses those who are accepting the Judaizers' perverted gospel. He summarizes the controversy, including his personal confrontation with Peter and the other church leaders. He then demonstrates that salvation by faith alone is alluding to his conversion. Appealing to his readers' own experience of the gospel and showing how the Old Testament teaches about grace, next he explains the purpose of God's law and the relationship between the law, God's promises, and Christ. So I've kind of gone through this as a quick summary of Galatians, because we've been going through this book, I think, since mid-June or something like that. So I just kind of put this on there for a quick summary. And then, you know, the last one here says, Paul explains that our freedoms means that we're free to love and serve one another, and we need to carry each other's burdens. And that's one thing that, you know, I love about the church that we go to here, the church that we're part of a body of, is I see people bearing one another's burdens and living with each other and living the life of Christ. So, I'm teaching on the last part of Galatians, Galatians 6, 11 through 18. And it's about circumcision, not circumcision, but a new creation. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except for in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor non-circumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you in spirit, brothers. Amen. And interesting part about this is, as I was studying through this, they're saying that the whole book of Galatians was dictated to a scribe until he gets to this last point, and Paul, trying to make emphasis on what was going on, as he writes this in his own hand, and as listening and reading on some scholars are saying that he was writing large letters because he was getting very passionate at this time, and I don't know how many of you have started writing and realize that when you get a little bit more passionate and a little bit angry, maybe start writing a little bit bigger and scribbling a little bit more. So I thought that was kind of interesting with that. The first part here is a time to change. You know, when I first became a Christian, some of you may have heard this, some of you may not, but you know, I came out of a life that wasn't a pretty life. On October 23rd, of 1982, I had been going through some changes that week, and some things had been happening in my life, and October 23rd, you know, I partook in what the world would have as being a fun time. I went to a bachelor party, and I was out partying until way early in the morning, and I'd been talking with a friend of mine that had become a Christian, and I'd been saying, man, this life that I'm living is killing me. I'm going to die. And I literally felt that over and over in my mind, going over, I'm going to die. I am going to die. I'm going to die. And I talked to this brother, and he shared some things with me, and he goes, well, you're going to go to church with me on Sunday. So this was October 23rd was a Saturday night, and I think I got home probably about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and at about 8:30, phone rings, and I'm not going to answer the door. I'm not going anywhere. Probably about half an hour later, there's a knock on the door and then a pound, and here's my friend taking me off to church. And I went really kind of angry and mad. When I got to this church, I couldn't have smelled real good because I didn't have time to take a shower, and I'd been out all night and partying, and I know that I had smell of alcohol on me. It just couldn't have been any other way. As I walk through the door, I walk in to the worship area, and here comes this little guy walking up to me. And he's walking up. First thing in my mind was, he's going to ask me to leave. He's going to ask me to leave because of the way I look. And this little old guy, it's going to bring tears to my eyes, and it does every time I think about this, but Ken Batchelder comes up, forest green suit, and he shakes my hand, and he goes, young man, hello there. My name's Ken. Welcome, welcome. And he was just the love of Christ just poured through Ken Batchelder that, right then and there, God started working on my heart. My thought was I had to change my outward appearance before I came in there. Nobody was going to accept me, and that's why I put this one in here, is you do not have to change your outward appearance to be accepted by God. When we look at this, Samuel is looking for a replacement for Saul, I believe it was. Don't have my notes, but pretty sure he's looking for a replacement, a king, a new king. And he's looking, and he's looking, and he's confused, and he's praying, and I love this scripture. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him, looking at one man. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. And that's something that I love about the Rock Churches. We started going here, I think it was in August of 2000. And Mac, Jeannie, they were just all over us. And it was the love of Christ. They were accepting us for who we are and how we are, not looking at changing the outward appearance. And, you know, this kind of takes me back to, well, it's been 2 years ago now that we came down here, isn't it? 2 years ago, we'd been doing some services throughout the summer, and just, you know, little services, getting together, and this guy shows up, and I look at this kid, and I'm going, oh, God, why have you brought me down here? I can't deal with this. And I was looking at the outward appearance, and I've talked to this person about this, because it really hurt me, because I was looking at the outward appearance of a man and condemning that man because of the outward appearance. And this was one of our first baptisms at the church. And Devin back here is the person I'm talking to. Devin has become a dear friend, a close friend and brother. And I love Devin. But I look back at my heart and the way I looked out at people. And I think that's what the Judaizers were doing, is they're looking at the outward appearance. And they're trying to get people to change outwardly so that they can boast in what has been going on, what's happened. But you know, it's not what the outward appearance, it's not the outward man. It's the inward man and people changing in their lives and their hearts. And, you know, I look at so often when we come into an area that people are trying to get us to change. And the change is good. Don't get me wrong. Change is good. I guarantee you I'm a completely different person than I was 27 or whatever years ago it was. I'm a different man. I'm a changed man. I praise God for the changes. But these were changes that God worked out in me. It wasn't pressure from other people to change. I had people that would be involved in my life and ask me tough questions. They would ask me questions about, Lee, how is this benefiting you, your family, or how is this drawing you nearer and nearer to God? So change is good, but I was accepted for who I was. I wasn't being forced to change in a way that was outside of God's will. And the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. And too often, I see where, you know, with myself, is I had thought, you know, we need to change the outside and not worry about the inside. So, where is this here? Now I'm going to teach in Corinthians. Got to follow my notes here. And in 12, Galatians 6, 12, those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except for in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. When we submit to God, when we give our life over to God, God is going to create change in our life. It's not something that we have to conjure up. We have to be submissive to God's will. We need to be in His Word. We need to be involved in people's lives. People need to be involved with our lives. We talk quite often, and Matt talks about it quite often, is we believe that everybody in the church should have their Paul, somebody who is their spiritual father. They should have a Barnabas, somebody who is their spiritual equal, somebody that they can talk with. Everybody should have a Timothy, somebody that you are helping to grow in their walk, somebody that you are helping to mature in their life in Christ. So we truly believe that you need to have those three people, those three things going on in your life. I know I work in a safety industry, and we do a lot of training. And I know that if I can get somebody to walk away from that training that we give, and they go out and try to help somebody learn that safety concept, that they get it deeper and deeper in their heart. So that's why we really believe you should have a Timothy in your life also, somebody that you are helping to mentor and to bring along. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This was a life verse for me for a long time. This is something that really meant a lot to me because my life had to, there had to be some drastic changes. But these weren't changes that somebody was forcing upon me. These weren't changes that somebody was saying, well, if you don't do this, God is not going to accept you. These were changes that God was doing through his Holy Spirit, which now indwells in me because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. These are those changes. These are changes because I've spent time reading his word. God is changing me from the inside out, and not somebody coming up to me and saying, Lee, well, look at the way I'm dressed. There are a lot of places where would not be accepted on the pulpit dressed like this, but we know that God is looking from the inside. He's looking at our hearts. Where are we? Are we trying to impress? Are we trying to dress to impress, or what is it? So as I became a new creature in Christ, that's where change occurred in my life. It wasn't because somebody was saying, you know, Ken Batch, elder, wasn't saying, well, Lee, you know, you came into church last week, your hair was a little long, you didn't smell real good, and, you know, I'd appreciate if you didn't wear a t-shirt and holy pants. Nobody said that, and I came into that church for a long time dressed that way. Didn't cut my hair for a long time, but my life was changing, and it was changing from the inside out. So I praise God for that. I've always been, I guess, somewhat of a rebel, and if somebody starts telling me I need to do something, I tend to go the opposite way and do opposite of what they've told me. Now, again, this doesn't mean that we don't. Sometimes we do change the outward appearance. You know, if I'm wearing shirts and stuff, I think of a perfect example is living down here in Utah County. My parents are liquor brokers, and I used to wear shirts that just proclaimed Jack Daniels. They were free shirts. I'm a tightwad, so I wore them all the time. Well, I noticed that in wearing that, people started looking at me a little bit differently in this community. You know what? That's okay. But I realized that, you know what? In order to reach into this community, I may need to be a little bit different. I may not need to be so much in your face and proclaiming Jack Daniels. I need to proclaim the love of Christ. So sometimes there are areas that we need to change. I guarantee you, an outward change in my life was my speech. I didn't know very many words, and all of them were typically four-lettered words. And that's why I used to speak all the time. And that was something that God worked out in me to make a change in my life. Nobody came up to me and said, Lee, you need to watch your language. You're offending people. I started to feel that and change that over time. It didn't come overnight. I don't know how long it took because it's been a while, but you know, that's something that did change on the outside. So there is a time to change. We need to grow up and make some changes in our lives. When I was a child, I talked like a child, thought like a child, I responded like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now I see a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. 1 Corinthians 13:11-12. And this verse really spoke to me early on in my Christian life because I need to put childish things away. I needed to make changes in my life. And childish things were even a lot of them inward. But then again, nobody was forcing me to change. I was changing because the Spirit of God inside of me was making those changes. There wasn't somebody out there saying, Lee, you've got to do this. People were teaching, but it had to be internalized. Point number two is boast in Christ. Always give credit where credit is due, Jesus Christ. I cannot personally stand up here and say, I made these changes in my life. I changed the way I am. I did this. I did that. I can't do that. I can't say that because I know that I am weak. But in my weakness, Jesus Christ becomes strong. And as I step out and I see these changes that need to come about, like the alcoholism, drug abuse, it was something that I didn't have the power over. I had to submit to Jesus Christ. I had to look for, as some people, a higher power. I had to look for Jesus Christ to make that change in me. So I want to give credit where credit is due. I don't want to boast in me. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is new creation. Galatians 6:14-15. And it was the new creation. It wasn't something that I had dreamed up, something that I had made up, because I guarantee you I wouldn't have taken this path. It seemed too foreign, and it was something that as you get your life is changing, it's not always the easiest path, but it's the right path. And it's in the long run, when you look back, you're going, oh, wow, I would not have had a picture. I would never envisioned back in 82, I would not envisioned my life today. I was talking with Ramsey this morning, and it's like, okay, God, you just a little wink here. And Ramsey was saying, you know, Lee, could you have pictured yourself where you are today when this all began? No way, no how. I could never have pictured myself standing in front of people talking about Jesus Christ. So we want to boast in Christ. You listen to Steve McEnroy talk, and there's only one person that I know of that speaks the name of Jesus Christ more than Steve McEnroy, and they're doing it in a bad way. Steve, when you listen to him, he's not giving glory to anybody but Jesus Christ. He knows where his strength comes from. That's something that I desire to have happen in my life more and more, is to give glory to Jesus Christ and not boast in me. And I know that all of us have some pride, so we need to remember, boast in Jesus Christ and not in ourselves. Give credit where credit is due. This part, when I was working on this, this is something that really kept on hitting me and hitting me in different commentaries, different teachings that I was listening to, and on this, really, this really stuck out. If you have somebody or something that is teaching salvation or anything different than what is quoted in this Bible, in God's holy word, if anybody is adding, subtracting, changing what comes out of this word, run, 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 run. Don't look back. If anybody's making any changes, adding stipulations that, well, you know, if you read the Bible, you need to make sure that when you're at church that you have cropped hair and such and such. If anybody's preaching that or teaching that, run. Run to a church, a place that is teaching only out of the Bible. Go to a church that if they're up here teaching, and if there's something that you may not understand or you may disagree with, go to a church that you can go up and talk with the pastor one-on-one. Talk to the person that's done the teaching and say, well, you know, I don't understand this or I disagree with this. Go to a place where somebody is willing to listen, but they take you back to the Word of God, and it's only the Word of God. So run from a teaching that says salvation comes by your works. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, And God raised us up with Jesus Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomprehensible riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. I would encourage everybody to understand, and I know a lot of us in here do, if you've never heard this before, that your salvation is by grace. You're not going to be able to walk that ladder and climb up that ladder and work your way to heaven. You're not going to be able to do that. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen by my works. Because I know that for me, if it were to be by my works that I were saved, I am going to boast. I am going to say how great I am. But it's not by my works. It's by Jesus Christ and by his grace that we have been saved. If you don't understand that or you haven't heard that before, talk to myself, talk to Mac, talk to somebody within this church that you know understands what we're talking about. It's not by the outward man that we are saved. It's not by our works. It's not. It cannot happen that way. And, you know, that's really about all I have on this. I would just encourage anybody that if you have questions in your mind, if you think that you're going to be able to work your way to heaven, that by changing the outward man, that you are going to know salvation. It's not going to happen. You need to know salvation through Jesus Christ and through his grace. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, come before you. Just thank you so much that it is by your grace, nothing but your grace, Father God. I just thank you for that, because there's nothing inside of me that can bring that about. It's got to be you. It's you and you alone. Father God, I pray that if anyone in this room today doesn't understand that, that they would look to you, that they would step forward into life today. Father God, that the life we walk before we understand your grace, your love, and salvation is death. And I just pray, Father God, that if anybody has those questions, that today would be the day of salvation, that they would step forward. And just thank you, Father God. Commit this day, this week to you. And we praise you in Jesus' name.